The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie.
And this is Kristen.
Ah,
yay!
And welcome to the three original gals of The Gathering together again in studio
tonight.
Isn't that fun? Oh my gosh!
Just like
old times.
Old times, but better times.
Better times. I did just post a picture of the three of us, and we're sitting at this big long table so the microphones don't clash, but everything is working superbly, and it was really fun. So go to our Facebook page, and you can see those pictures. And there's a picture of the phenomenal mixer that we have to do.
We have stepped it up since our first show, and we were all together. We were talking about this earlier.
Yes.
We were all together sitting around probably one laptop, right?
Yes.
With no microphone, no headset.
Yeah.
No, nothing. We were squished together. Yeah. I think we were spooning, we called it.
I know. We were in Stephanie's kitchen at the time.
Yeah. In Stephanie's kitchen on squeaky chairs.
Well,
that she wouldn't stop moving. So
that's
it was squeak,
right.
Squeak,
I have the one squeaky squeak, chair, and then it's like a booth, you know. So then, yeah, it is cozy. But
it was cozy.
And huddled around one laptop. You're absolutely
with
right.
With no microphones.
And no microphones.
No microphones.
And
off and on internet, Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Wi-Fi.
It's like, yeah, sometimes
worked. Sometimes worked. Skype had more issues back then too. I think
Skype was a,
you know, we had a hard time with that. And then you know, my little bubble kitty would come in every once in a while and do a yowl, and you know.
So it's fun sitting here today with the three of us.
Yeah,
and we have good technology. We can get together again, which we haven't been able to do for a year and a half. And
absolutely.
We're vaccinated, so we can be together in person.
Yep.
It's cool.
Yeah.
And we've got a nice looking chat room out there.
We do.
Yeah,
super exciting.
This is fun.
Yeah.
This is so fun.
So
for those of you who don't know, you know, when we originally started this show, was it like 6.5 years ago,
It was a long time. It doesn't seem that long.
No, it doesn't seem like 6.5 years
but
ago.
But it was the three of us.
Yeah.
And like we said, it was only once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in my kitchen. And then I think we did it, maybe Anita offered up her house.
She did.
And then we were there a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then you and I, after Kristen left the show permanently, you know, not permanently, but
as a host,
you and I were there quite often at Anita's house, which was fabulous.
And it was always fun to go there because A, I love Anita, and B, she can cook like nobody's business.
And she always had treats for us.
And she knew that I wasn't going home in between, so she'd make dinner for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you so much because I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
And she's such a good cook.
Always, yeah, she was the hostess with the mostest.
She
sure.
is. She still is, I'm sure. She's just not in our country anymore.
No.
She moved
back home to Canada.
Yeah. For now.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, and Jerry in the chat room was saying we were on the last Wednesday of the month taking over for their show, The Calling.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks to Jerry and his crew, that's how we got into this, which we have loved every
absolutely.
Minute of it. It's been great.
Absolutely. And then, so anyway, so Kristen is a co-host tonight. She's not our guest. She's the three hosts are together. So ask questions, fire away people in the chat room for sure.
But, yes. Absolutely.
But this is really fun because, like we said, we haven't done this for a long time. And we haven't, Heidi and I haven't been together since before the COVID hit. So this is like fun.
Very
fun. We can
fun.
Actually look at each other. And I mean, we look at each other on Skype, but it's different.
It's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun being in person. And yeah, it's just, it's cool that we can be back together, literally gathering around the metaphysical table. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the three of us. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's cool. And then when you say 6.5 years, I go, oh my gosh.
Oh,
wow.
That's a long time.
That's wow. Cool.
It really is. I can't wait until we can have guests with us again, too.
Yes.
You know, and that's me inviting myself back. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just very yeah, you're coming
back.
You
are always welcome. You're still a co-host in my eyes. You know?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're one of the originals, and you're always going to be part of our group. So yeah, you are the group. That's it.
All right.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, I always love being here.
It's fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we all have such good energy together. You know, I probably won't be able to sleep till midnight tonight. You know, but
I never do. I'm always up buzzing after
the show. Always for a long time.
Yeah.
So yeah, and Jerry had mentioned earlier in the chat room. He said, "The gathering."
The gathering.
The gathering.
There we go.
It's like doing the wave.
I know.
Except with our vocals. The gathering.
Oh my
the
gosh.
Gathering. The
How
gathering.
Fun is that?
Yeah. So we got to talk just a few minutes about what we've been working on before we hit it for the show. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, Steph, what you've had going on.
You know, I had a kind of a quiet weekend. I feel like I was busy from that, you know, I've just been crazy doing things and I don't know what all I've been doing. You know,
it's a blur.
Right? I mean, I did some photos. I've been chasing the owls, you know, because I know they're leaving soon, you know, and so.
Did you say you were chasing them?
A lot. Well, no, not.
They're going to leave a lot faster if you do that. You know that.
You know what? They're so cool. They just.
I'm teasing.
It's like they talk to me when I'm there. It's really fun. It's really fun to go see them. And the babies are the same way now. They're just like, oh, you've returned. last night I went over there and I found Mama, but I didn't find the babies. But, you know, they're there somewhere close. It's just hard to find them now with all the leaves on the trees. So I'm hopeful I'll get to see him this weekend. But yeah, I've been down at the Eagles and, you know, it's just been really fun. So I've been kind of doing all this fun stuff, not really anything paranormal, so to speak, you know, or even squatching. I think we're going squatching this weekend for the first time for a while, but just kind of life stuff, you know.
Life's not bad.
Life's good, you know, and it's fun to just run over to the park when I want to and not have a packed schedule and, you know, whatever. So how about you, Heidi?
The clearings continue. You know, I've been talking about this the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It has been out of control. The number of people that have been contacting me. Mm-hmm. I got another call today. Someone, I don't know where they live, so we'll have to find out. I did two home clearings on Sunday, back to back. Just went from one to the other. And remember the one that I did a couple weeks ago where they left a, and I don't know if you heard this, Kristen, they left a bundle of hair that was still attached to the scalp. Yeah, it was a little bundle, and I took it from the property. Well, this one, there's a leg of an animal. It's perfectly formed. It's perfectly cleaned. It's still intact, except the leg bone is broken, not at the knee. It's broken in the lower half of the leg, but otherwise the whole leg is intact, and it is completely clean. Except for one tuft of hair near the knee. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. They found it after we set up the clearing. So we set up the clearing for, you know, this past Sunday. And then I said, email me or call me or whatever, you know, if activity changes, if it goes outside of what you've already told me, let me know. Well, the next day they were over painting because they're not currently living in the house. They're doing some remodeling, so they're staying with relatives. While they were back painting, they were in the basement, and they heard walking footsteps upstairs, and they assumed it was a contractor, because they've had a lot of contractors through doing this work. And they went upstairs to say, hey, you know, good to see ya, whatever. Nobody was there. Doors are locked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But clear footsteps. Then I believe it was the next day, and they came over, and on a piece of tarp in the backyard is a leg laid out with a piece of red twine. Yeah. I know Kristen's getting the eyes. That's what I,
that,
you had.
That
the,
is a witch.
I know it's
thing
a witch
for sure.
Yep, mm-hmm. I know it is because mm-hmm. as soon as I saw that, I went, okay. Mm-hmm. What you know, the leg is one thing. The red twine. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I had to put
oh, I
a
just got tingles.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
the
I had
you
to
said that, I'm like,
contain
oh.
it.
Yeah.
Energetically, break the spell that was attached to it, mm-hmm. and then I had to take apart because it was they had actually. Unintentionally created an extra bubble around it. They put, because I said, keep it as it is, you know, try and, you know, not disturb it till I get there. And so they took the, but you know, plant pot, what are those, saucer, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you put
mm-hmm.
pots on.
Mm-hmm.
So they took the saucer and flipped it over it. And so I picked it up, it created a circle around it. And uh-huh. I was like, dang it. So anyway, I was like, well, there's that now, an extra little. So mm-hmm. I had to take it apart, and I took the leg then and dismantled the spell that went with it, and I took the piece of red twine. But I thought, you know, it's not an accident because A, it's perfectly placed,
yeah.
and it could be any, there could be no twine, there could be green, white,
mm-hmm.
neutral twine, mm-hmm. twine, but no, it's red.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, really? This is interesting.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But
no, that's
like,
okay.
Were you able to discern, like, what motivation this person had or anything about, like, why are they doing this working? What were they trying to accomplish?
What it felt like is it wasn't, it was weird because it wasn't intentionally set as, it almost felt like someone had manifested it because of their strong attachment to the home, that it was almost...
So it was a spirit, you think?
No, I think no. It was actually from someone who has lived in the property that's still alive.
Okay.
They're so connected to the house that they, like, unintentionally manifested it.
Do you think they're a witch, though, and that...
I think she is and doesn't realize it.
Okay.
Mm. She's an unintentional. The former owner
mm-hmm.
is so attached to the house, I think it came from her...
Mm-hmm.
that she manifested it because she's still so attached. I don't think she wanted to move. And that's what it felt like because it didn't feel like anything from anything otherworldly. Like, I believe mm-hmm. she somehow manifested it as a ward to get these people to leave.
Oh,
she
okay.
wants them out.
Oh.
She wants to be in. She's not going to get back in, but she doesn't want anybody else to live there.
She longs for yes. it and for that time of in her life as well, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah, she's there for a long time, her and her husband. They're still alive and they just moved. And yeah, so it's kind of sad, but I think her will is so strong
sure.
that it was manifested through her energy. And Karen said a leg of what? I don't know what it was. I'll have to take a picture of it maybe and I could post it and see. I don't have it with me. I don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
What it was from. It's quite large. I'll say it was probably 8 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a mouse or a chipmunk.
No, right.
It's about 8 inches long with the foot. And it looks like it might be, I mean, it could, with the way the foot is, it could be the leg of an owl. Those things are long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lift up the feathers and it's like these long Barbie long doll legs, right?
Yeah.
You know, it looks like mm-hmm. Barbie's legs under there. So it could be the leg of an owl. Possibly. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that has that long of legs with talon. I think it had talons.
Oh, it had talons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll have to look. But it looked like fur on it. So I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know what kind of
covering. You know, the thing is, if something is physically manifested, it doesn't always conform to the laws of this realm, though.
True, yeah. True.
I've seen things that are manifested that are definitely, like, just wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it's very possible that the animal doesn't actually have fur in this realm as a physical animal, but the fur may mm-hmm. have represented something in her emotions or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen things pop both into and out of reality with absolutely no explanation other than the paranormal. And it's pretty freaky.
Mm-hmm. That could, yeah, I didn't think of that piece of it, that it could be, because it's manifested, it doesn't actually exist.
Right.
Like as an actual yeah. animal.
Yeah.
It's a thought up kind of thing.
But it was definitely...
But to do that, don't you have to have some kind of instruction to be able to do something like that, Kristen?
You should have instruction if you are intentionally doing that. Yeah, however, right. I have seen dementia patients particularly mm-hmm. where they're either not trained but a natural, like Heidi thinks this person is, or they are trained but they have lost like control of their faculties, and then they can manifest things without intending to do so. We've seen this with elderly witches, where stuff will pop in and out, or you'll get I've seen substances manifest. As a matter of fact, there was one that I did, and I've been getting calls too, and I don't even advertise. I've got people asking me to clear stuff too, and I try to send them over to Heidi when I can, because she does it professionally. I mean, I'll do it if there's nobody else. Mm-hmm. But what was I getting at? Oh my God, squirrel.
That's how we all are lately. And we have the reason for that that we're going to talk about. But yes.
Yeah. No, they can manifest because they are confused and they're having these very strong emotions. Like if you have an Alzheimer's patient, they get confused and they have emotional swings, and you'll see stuff popping in and out. And at first we're very confused, like, where did this come from? Or where did that thing go? Because I've seen it the other way, where there's no explanation for something just disappearing. They should. Oh, okay. Instruction. Yeah, they should. But I've seen it where they certain extreme emotions. I've seen someone who is extremely lovelorn manifest things if they're just out of their mind with grief over losing a relationship or a death. They can. It's rare. But then, too, there are places, and we've talked about this before, that there are a myriad of things that are all convening together to create an area that's magnetized to that stuff. And that it can include accidentally or, you know, intentionally opened portals, but it can also be like there was a series of traumatic events that happened maybe over even decades, but it happened all in the same spot. And then, it, you know, whatever, let's say it's a site of all the gods forbid, you know, a suicide or something like that. And the land can remember long, long ago where a human would not. And I've come across where somebody will have a haunting in a brand new apartment, and they're like, how can this be? And it's like, well, because it's the farmer and this was his land and it's from the 1700s.
Yep.
And he's still there.
Yeah.
Or the echoes of what happened. You know, so the paranormal can be very weird, as you know. I was watching a thing on cryptids the other day and I was thinking of you guys so much. I was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Can't wait to go on the show again.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah. So I mean, wow, crazy manifestation. Oh, they're asking, let's see.
So
what was going on with the past owners?
Do you think there was something to, you know, maybe more than what you know?
No. Well, okay. So from what I gathered, so this is Jerry's question in the chat room. Aren't you curious? Is something going on with the past, going on from the past owners? There wasn't. What I do feel is that there was a very interesting energy balance between paranormal and religion that was unspoken, but I could feel because of the brief interactions that they had, it was definitely there with the former owners. And there was this balance of what do I believe in? How far do I believe with it? You know, trying to mix the beliefs of paranormal and metaphysical with what we're told through religious channels. And so I think she was trying to come to some kind of cohesion between the two and creating some of her own ideas about it, because what was being, you know, taught through religious channels wasn't lining up with some of the things that she either believed or was witnessing or whatever. And so I think she kind of came up with her own ideas around it. And as she got older, she maybe had some ideas that went sideways a little bit.
Well, what I have seen, I've seen this before too, when people are trying to reconcile irreconcilable beliefs or experiences, particularly in, let's say, you know, because we're in the U.S., Christianity is the number one religion here. If you are Christian and you have certain beliefs about that, but you're also very drawn to the paranormal, what I find is that those folks are more likely to manifest spiritual things than somebody who is not trying to align two different unalignable belief systems. Mm-hmm. There's something that it's like adding water to an oil fire. It just it intensifies all of the energies. And I've even like helped a person who was a Christian who kind of got addicted to going to quote psychics and fortune tellers and things that were scamming people.
Sure.
And she was beginning to manifest stuff, and these people were also sending hooks into her to try to get her to come back. And I told her, I said, because you are Catholic and you've gotten to where you're really dependent on these people, you're in more danger than maybe just somebody else, because and you're having experiences now that are scaring you. So I told her, I said, you go back to your church and you tell the priest that the witch lady told you to get your butt into confession, you know, and get back, because unless you really don't believe in Catholicism anymore, right. In which case then you move on. But she said she did. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be a really dangerous thing for people. I don't know how you feel about that, ladies, but the definite impression I got was that she was actually in more danger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think with the intensity of where this homeowner was with her land and how connected she was, and then with just the other beliefs that were trying to find space together, I think that she might be capable of some really intense manifesting, and because I think that's where this came from. And so, yeah, it's an interesting, and plus there's more that I found inside, and some of the things that they told me that I won't share, but it leads me to believe that it was her and it was unintentional. But like you said, Kristen, boy, when you get some strong emotions around something, you don't need, I think you had asked Stephanie about needing, you know, to have direction around this and to have an actual intention and spell. It's like, nope, this can happen
just from your emotions.
If they're strong enough.
It just needs almost like the perfect storm of energy coming together.
Yes.
Because there's so many times that you think of things and you have strong emotions or whatever, and it just, nothing happens. Like that, a physical manifestation. But it just, whatever needs to line up happens just so perfectly that here comes this physical manifestation of this energy. And it's like, oh, wow, this really does work. If, you know, but you could have 100 people out there trying to do this and it won't happen.
Right.
You know, because they just don't have the right energy lineup. It's not the right set of circumstances or whatever. Anyway, yeah, it was crazy. And we talked about this way more than I expected, but it's cool though. I mean, not cool, but it's interesting to think about.
Right.
It is cool to realize that the laws of the universe do not preclude the popping in and out of existence of physical things.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a witch, the first time I saw that happen, I was freaked out, like really freaked out. It's like, this is not supposed to happen.
Well, yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, okay, so we're moving on. So Kristen, what have you been up to in the last week or so?
Oh, well, I have a lot of family things going on right now. But also, I had my Quora space. I have a space on Quora called Real Wicca. And it has, like, kind of exploded and got monetized. I mean, it's very slow. I'm not going to really.
Whoops.
She's ringing.
Her bag is ringing. Hang on.
Her bag is ringing, yes.
Yes. So yeah, my Quora thinks she's going to try to call me back. This is one of my coveners, and so I'm trying to race to get this phone off. And so I've been making a lot of videos on Quora, about, you know, Wicca and witchcraft, and also writing articles and having a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy making the videos very much, and I've had a lot of, like, it kind of exploded on me, and I wasn't expecting it. I was doing it just because I mean, I can't shut up about Wicca in general.
I didn't know that. Did you, Heidi?
I have no idea.
So I was like, you know, why not put this out there, whatever. Right. And then, so I've just been doing it a lot. And getting like thousands of followers, just like every time I look, there's like so many more people.
So I don't know what Quora, is that how you pronounce
Quora,
it?
Quora, it's Q-U-O-R-A. It's like, just a question and answer platform, you can have spaces on it.
Oh, and so you have like a profile like on any other social media?
Yeah, and I answer questions that are not about Wicca and witchcraft, but on that space, that is the subject. And so I talk about all the different things. And so that's really fun because a lot of people, for whatever reason, are very interested, but they don't have the means to really, they don't know who to talk to, they don't know who to trust, they might live in a remote area. And I get people from all over the world now, which is really cool. Yeah. And a lot of people watch out of morbid fascination, which doesn't bother me at all, because it is morbidly fascinating to someone who has very different ideas than I do, right? And there was a time when, like, for instance, my Wiccan self, I would like occasionally watch like the show with the million kids with the evangelicals with and I would watch it because these people were so radically different than I was that I was fascinated by them, because every single thing they thought was important was the polar opposite of what I thought was important. But I respected that they had the right to live their lives the way they wanted to, right? And I'm noticing that I'm getting a lot of people from like India, Africa, South America, and it's like kind of like, why are you interested in Wicca? And it's like, no, they're just munching popcorn watching this crazy witch lady. And that's great.
Yeah, like it is absolutely.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
Yeah,
awesome.
Well, that's cool. I love it.
And you've had that site for a long time.
I have.
Yeah.
I have, but it just blew up lately, and I think probably COVID has something to do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But that's good.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Absolutely. Oh, that's fun. Well, so now we're all caught up, I guess.
I think so.
Oh, and people are asking about the flower blood moon eclipse thingy. And I don't know exactly what time that is, but we were going to talk about the moon and the retrogrades, which are nutso right now.
Oh, they are. They are. And I'm just a little bit crazy myself. So here we go.
Yeah, they're talking about in the chat room, there's, depending on what time zone you're in, you know, anywhere from Ceiling Cat saying 4:30 a.m. Pacific time for this blood moon eclipse to 3:47 to 5:39 here in the central area, you know, the central time zone. So, you know, it's varying depending on where you live, of course, but we will be talking about that and more here with Kristen, because she is ready to go. Yeah, we have retrogrades and all sorts of fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, so I mean, so they're saying too that like the maximum is at 5:36 a.m. Well, geez, I'm usually up at that time. I might have to run outside and have a look, right? Can we even see the moon at that time?
I think Joe in the chat room is saying it's a partial eclipse
here. Partial, right?
Yeah, I don't think we'll have a full eclipse here. We're in Minnesota, for those of you that aren't aware. So I think that's, and I Joe is from Minnesota too, if it's the Joe I'm thinking
of. We'll have to look that up, because that'd be interesting. Hey, maybe I can go over and can be with the owls when that happens. Wouldn't that be fun? Ooh. Anyway. Anyway. Well, you know what? Because there's a lot to talk about with all of that stuff, and we're not ready to go yet, but we don't want to dive into that right now, though, is what I'm saying.
Well, do you have any, like, 3 minutes worth of information to share about the blood moon that's coming up?
The thing that comes to mind for me as I'm looking at this information is the names of the moon. They're calling it a flower moon, which is, that is certainly, you know, great and fine. But the names for full moons will vary according to culture, and none of them are wrong. You know, I would not call this the flower moon. We have different names in my tradition, but one of the things that we do at Yule every year is we have a Yule log that has holes drilled in it, and then there are 13 candles, and we make this big production out of naming the moons and calling forth the blessings of each of the moons of the coming year. And so, like, it can be fun for people who may be interested in this to look up different systems for naming the moon. There are different Native American mm-hmm. names for different moons. Mm-hmm. Wiccans here may use one, whereas Wiccans in the UK may use one or more that are different. So calling it the flower moon is wonderful because the flowers are blooming right now. It makes yeah. total sense.
Yeah.
But the names can just be radically different, and they tell us a lot about the subcultures who use those names, mm-hmm. you know, like what right. they value,
yes,
you know, and so that's cool too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm definitely cool. going to be doing some workings tomorrow. I'm not a witch who requires exact increments of time, so I can work with the full moon over a 3-day period.
Right.
Because, you know, it's really full for about that long, mm-hmm. and that also allows our coven to, like, wait for Saturday to get together, you know, it's like, because people have jobs cool. and stuff. But I was just trying to think with my husband, like, how can we best ride this energy? How can we best use, you know, the supermoon mm-hmm. in June,
right,
being eclipsed, and you can get really, really geeky about that because the light of the moon is actually the light of the sun. So mm-hmm. the solar god, in my case, mm-hmm. would be lending his light and power, his masculine power, to the feminine moon and mm-hmm. illuminating her. But she is partially eclipsed from where we sit.
Yes.
So meditating on, like, what does that mean? What is yeah. being obscured? What is the mystery that the eclipse is not fully allowing us to see all of that light mm-hmm. between the sun and the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like to yeah. meditate on stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool.
Very awesome.
I love it, for sure. All right, well, now it's time for the commercial break. And so this is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
You've no doubt heard of Tango and Cash, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Perhaps it takes two to tango. Well, now, on the first and third Thursdays of each month, there's a show called Tango and Friends at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. There's going to be lots of topics and lots of guests you'll all know and lots of surprises. Tango and Friends, every first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shunt, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
The Gathering. The Gathering.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. And we have all three original hosts of the Gathering here tonight. We have Stephanie and Kristen and myself, Heidi. And it is so good to be back, and we are back in person.
Yes, isn't
so
this
good.
Fun?
And we have been talking with Kristen. We love having Kristen back because mm-hmm. we have all sorts of fun things to talk about. We've been talking about this lunar eclipse, blood moon, flower moon, all sorts of good stuff. And we have more to talk about when it comes to some of the planetary alignments that are coming up. I know, Kristen, you've been researching that, and we'd love for you to kind of take over and let us know what you've been finding.
Okay, well, I'm being lazy and just reading somebody else's work, okay? Because sometimes in witchcraft, we don't reinvent the wheel, right?
No, why? Yeah.
So somebody who is much more into astrology and astronomy than I am, I have cursory knowledge only, and, you know, just enough to, like, get my initiation and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They did this great workup. So right now, Pluto is retrograde since April 27th, and it's going to be retrograde until October 6th. And what is happening with that is that it's moving out of Capricorn and into Aquarius. And so when a planet switches houses like that and goes retrograde, some things can be afoot. And what I've noticed is there's a theme. As I was reading about these different ones, there's a little theme that will form. But so the retrograde, it slows down the transformations to give room for adjusting and giving us some time to reflect on what has come to pass to put together a better plan for the future. So, you know, because we've all been all a jumble, right? Normal life has kind of ceased to be. Maybe we're getting back to normal a little bit. But this retrograde Pluto, which is, you know, ruled over by the Lord Pluto or Hades, if you're a pagan, who is a god of the underworld. So we think shadow work and things like that would go along with that. Putting together what you want for the future as far as, like, how are you going to deal with the things that maybe you don't want to look at in your life, and how can you deal with those things to bring forth a future that is going to be more to your liking? That is how I would interpret that. That's just my opinion. That doesn't mean that that's a fact, but that's how I would interpret that. Mm-hmm. Then we have Saturn going retrograde May 23rd. So that just happened. So we are currently in both of those planets retrograde right now as we speak. That goes until October 10th. And this also goes into Aquarius. So dealing with certain lessons, blocks, needing to release any blockages you may have. Here's the thing. If you fight a retrograde, I often say that it's like fighting labor, those of us who have had babies. Mm-hmm. If you fight the labor, what your body is doing, is going to hurt a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing with planetary retrogrades. You can work with the energy and use it and ride it, which is what I recommend, or you can dig your heels in and be dragged kicking and screaming through the mud. And believe me, I've done this because I'm one of the most stubborn people in the world, ask my husband. And I've learned not to fight retrogrades. So that's that one. So again, till October 10th, we're going to be in that energy. Then, we're not quite here yet, but starting May 29th, we get to go Mercury retro again. Oh. Yay! That's so much fun because, of course, communications are disrupted. Electronics like to go wonky.
So good thing the show wasn't next week.
I know, right?
So that goes from May 29th to June 22nd. And I was reading another site earlier because that is over the time when my husband and I are taking a staycation to celebrate our anniversary. Mm-hmm. And it specifically highlights that relationship communication can be very, very difficult at this time. Mm-hmm. So be aware that if we get on each other's nerves, that we shouldn't let it ruin our lovely staycation in our favorite hotel. So duly noted. Mm-hmm. So if you are having trouble with relationships during this time, might stop and go, okay, I'm being a little bit influenced by this. Maybe I need to slow down and not be so reactive. Then we have Jupiter going retrograde June 20th to October 18th.
Wow.
And so this, all these retrogrades happening at the same time. And this is going to be in Pisces, which is my sign. What does it say about this?
It's
spiritual
intense.
baggage and subconscious issues, which all of these can affect subconscious issues. and a quieter period for digging deeper into our souls. And we always know, we know, those of us who do mm-hmm. spiritual work, that doing deep soul work is mm-hmm. always so much fun, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a big party.
Yes.
This is also about changing things up on the macro level. It's not just all about personal stuff, but things like what is happening in our government mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You know, how are we as a society handling, you know, justice issues and all those mm-hmm. things that have been highlighted for us already are going to be even more intense. So strap in, ladies and gentlemen, and others. Let's see. Chiron goes retrograde July 15th through December 19th, 2021. And Chiron is the wounded healer. And it's going to be in Aries and retro. So it is going to highlight identity, who we feel we are, and who we connect with on a personal level.
And when does that one go retrograde?
Retrograde starts July 15th and goes to late December, right before the winter holidays. And just when you think you've heard it all, mm-hmm. Uranus goes retrograde in August, on August 19th through January 18th, 2022. And this is Uranus in this respect is the ruler of change. And since it is retro, changes will, and this may be a good thing, actually slow down. Because with all of these retros happening, there will be massive amounts of change, personal level, macro level. And so it's actually going into Taurus. And so the themes are going to be respect, personal confidence, creating stability and security, and particularly highlighting financial security, which means that probably if people are used to, and this is me, flying by the seat of their pants financially, because Pisces people are just like, whatever, I feel like doing this, woohoo, mm-hmm. let's go to Jamaica. Probably not the best thing to do when this planet is retrograde, so I'm bummed out about that.
And that was Uranus?
That was Uranus, and then Mercury goes retro again, September 27th to October 18th. Venus goes retrograde December 19th through January 29th, 2022. So that will close out the year, and it's in Capricorn, and so it says we may experience setbacks and delays or feel like we're completely off track and lack focus or motivation to get back on. Well, that's me every day, but okay.
Mm-hmm,
old goals may become a priority again, and new or current ones may need to be saved for later. So thinking of when you, if you're feeling confused, if you're feeling overwhelmed, maybe back burner, whatever you can back burner during that time, and maybe see what you can pick back up that you set down. So that's your full list of holy wowie retrogrades that we are going to experience, planetarily speaking, in from now to the end of the year.
That's insane.
It is.
But, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, it was in the summertime, remember Heidi and we were at Anita's talking about all these retrogrades, and there was like a multitude, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's
it's not unusual to have retros, yeah. but to have them all simultaneously
piling
almost.
Piling on top of each yes. other or following each other.
I've seen three or four together, but not this.
It's craziness.
No.
Big. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know much about astrology. I'm just going to preface that. But it doesn't surprise me considering the death and rebirth process we've been through in yeah. the last year and a half mm-hmm. with, you know, even just COVID mm-hmm. on top of everything else. So this is really, you know, you mentioned Pluto. It's really calling us up to look at what needs to go. And yeah. with retrograde, you're always looking back.
Yeah.
You're looking and reflecting back. And so to look back at all the different, you know, you mentioned Saturn, right? And I think Saturn is the great teacher, right? If you, I mm-hmm. think, and so thinking of the things that you've been taught in your lifetime, and I know this is probably a literal translation, but this is what came to my mind when you said that, is looking at the things that you were taught that maybe aren't true anymore, you know, or
yeah.
have never been true for you, and you just followed the system. Mm-hmm. And you know, what about that needs to go as you reflect back and go, you know what, that doesn't fit me anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I think this can be a really good thing if we embrace mm-hmm. it. Like you said, you try and fight labor, it's going to win. Yeah. And it's going to beat you up in the process. So looking at different retrograde energies and embracing it and saying, okay, I may not like this, but how can I flow with it? You know, mm-hmm. how can I use this to the best advantage I can so that I can possibly gain something good out of this? You know, even mm-hmm. if it's, even if it doesn't feel good right now, you know, it sometimes change is hard or it's painful or whatever. But looking at the energy is in the best way that you can and say, how can I use this to my benefit? Like, what could I change that might be better for me in the long run? So let me investigate a little bit of this. Yeah, shadow work with Pluto is not necessarily fun, but there's so much good mm-hmm. in the shadow. I ran a shadow weekend a couple weekends ago with my priestess circle, yeah. and it's so powerful to do shadow work. And there's so much gold in the dark. You know, when we have that, you know, power to trust ourselves enough to dig and trust spirit enough to lead us. It's like we can find some really cool stuff there. So I don't shy away from retrogrades. I know sometimes they can be frustrating, but then it's like, okay, just slow down. Like you said, Kristen, mm-hmm. right? On some of those, mm-hmm. slow down mm-hmm. and just take a look and see what is it that we can gain from this in looking backwards or releasing or whatever it is that might come up energetically with some of these retrogrades.
Yep. In my tradition of Wicca, we have an imposed time of magically catalyzed shadow work twice in the elevations. And in the first elevation, which is called the first time we do shadow work is after the person has been a dedicant, they become what's called a neophyte, and that's the intensive priesthood training that you do. And it's a minimum of a year and a day. It can go much longer. But I remember one of my, who is now a very wonderful initiate, she's one of my favorite witches, she was really fighting her neophyte work. And I called her up and I said, if you're doing your work, you will be lost right now. And she became very irritated with me. And she jokes about this now, because it's funny now. Mm-hmm. But she was like, I'm not lost. I'm not lost. And I said, well, then you're not doing the work. And she didn't like hearing that. And two or three days later, I got a call from the psych ward. And I walk in there to visit her as clergy. And I said, congratulations, now you're doing the work. Oh. And she was like, I did not expect you to say that. And I said, well, you let go and you fell apart. And isn't it cool that we have places you can go when you fall apart? Now, I've never gone to the psych ward for any mm-hmm. other neophyte mm-hmm. or second degree, thankfully. But she always says, go hard or go home. That's my motto. And I was like, if that's how you roll, I'm not going to stop you. But I might be over here cringing and looking between my fingers because yeah. it's hard to just take it like that. But yeah, shadow work, looking at the things that terrify you. This is one of the reasons that I work with infernal deity. A lot of people, they get very weirded out when a witch says, because a lot of us would be like, I'm just all light. I only work with the light, the light, the light. Okay, mm-hmm. great. That's great if that's where you're at and that's what you want to do. But when you want to do the heavy spiritual lifting, it's really going to change your life. The working with darkness and or if you are a pagan, an infernal pagan deity, I work with Hecate. They show you how to transmute your pain, your fear, your anxiety, your anger, all of those things. You learn from them to transmute those things into spiritual gold. And that is the true alchemy. That is what alchemy actually is. It isn't making mm-hmm. physical gold. So yeah. That's my little spiel on shadow work, y'all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hear, hear.
Very cool.
Yep.
Very
that's
cool.
Exactly it. It is. It's, yeah, if you're not afraid of it, it can be so powerful and so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it can change someone in ways that you can't explain. So, yeah. I agree. And for doing any of it, not just shadow work, just doing any kind of work and looking at, you know, how can I evolve and mm-hmm. change and, you know, kind of like an upgrade, you know, computer mm-hmm. upgrade, system upgrade. It's like, this will be an upgrade, you know, if I look at it and I'm honest with myself, you know, because that's huge, is to just be honest with yourself and acknowledge, like, what isn't working, or your role in something and what can be done to change. I think it can be really amazing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's how a lot of us get a lot of our psychic gifts, too. The more shadow work I do, of course, getting older and closer to crone energy is not hurting my psychic ability either. But when you do that shadow work, you will get rewarded. You will have spiritual gifts pop up. And something that I'm noticing is that when I do that work, my spiritual gifts get stronger. They get deeper. I get better messages from divine. Things are easier. It's not as hard anymore. And the life will flow more easily instead of every little thing going wrong. Mm-hmm. That's how we know that we're walking correctly with spirit. That's what I always say is, I mean, if you do that hard work and you don't notice some gift from it eventually, it's like, what am I missing? There's a piece missing. What am I not looking at? Because once you do all of those parts, you will get that. That's how I got my psychometry gift, was doing my work recovering from trauma. And suddenly I realized I could read stuff that I held in my hand. Mm. And knew all about the people who had owned them, and how cool is that? Mm-hmm. You know, so those who want to do, you know, to develop their psychic skills, certainly attend Heidi's classes if you can, because she's excellent. Mm-hmm. Go with a teacher for sure, but also, you know, talking about this with practitioners, with, you know, the people who are your support people, that can help you navigate that shadow and not have to do it all on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, when you do any kind of work, like we're talking about with these energies that are so strong this year, and especially in the retrograde energies, like you were saying, Kristen, when you're doing the work, it's clearing the channel.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like you're clearing the gunk out of the pipe. Right, if you're looking at this as like plumbing, easy enough to visualize. There's gunk in the pipe, and that's our stuff, right? And when you clear out the gunk, spirit's like, great, now I have a clearer way to get through more messages, and I can connect with you easier because there's not all this junk in the way. So we can get more to you, and it's anytime you do this work and you really dig in, and it's not going to take a week or a day or whatever. This is stuff that you have to process and work through, but there are benefits that come through because spirit's like, great, now that's out of the way. So we can connect with you on a different level. And it does, it clears the channel, and it's awesome. And it might be subtle sometimes, but sometimes it's like, whoa, like you said, mm-hmm. psychometry. It's like, whoa, that's a cool one. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's a new gift. So yeah, but it's because we have a clearer channel, spirit can communicate and connect with us on a different level. And it works. It does. It's how it works.
Mm-hmm. I've even found occasionally I will have a physical manifestation where something will resolve. I have a lot of different physical issues due to my life history, and I have fibromyalgia, which is an ongoing thing, and it morphs and changes. But I have noticed that when I am proactive about doing certain things that maybe I wouldn't choose to do, but I need to do spiritually, sometimes my pain will get better. My symptoms will kind of become less severe. Understand, I'm not blaming anyone for their condition. I'm not. I have a little bit of a problem when people say, "Well, it's just your karma." You know, that's, you know, you're not responsible for being sick if you're chronically sick, but you can seek for all the different ways, whether they be medical, whether they be spiritual, whether they be like holistic. Throw everything you can at that, including doing spiritual work, because I, at least, my body responds to that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because everything is energy. So doing spiritual work, it shifts everything. It shifts the emotional, mental, physical, spiritual. It changes everything around you and within you. So anything, like you said, that you can do to help yourself, it will make changes to some degree, sometimes a little bit, sometimes a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool. This is so much fun.
It is so much fun. Karen is talking about chaga.
I can't do chaga.
I don't do it either, but I've heard.
I've done it. I can't.
Our friend Gina swears by it.
Yeah, I can't drink it. It gives me acid reflux. I can't drink it. I get bad.
Yeah. Bad. But I have heard that, Karen. Maybe I should try it with all my arthritis. You know, I'd probably feel really good, right?
Oh, I've got awful arthritis. But I'm one of these people who can't eat 99% of the grocery store. So I'm a little afraid to like try something new, but that's the only way that you learn, too.
That's right.
Is take a risk.
Yes.
And I do some herbals that that I get from an apothecary in the Ozarks that have
for the arthritis.
For the fibro.
Okay.
And it's really like my pain will drop like 2 points just right away when I take it. And so I mean, just search around and whatever works for you, keep that because that's gold.
Oh,
Karen, I feel you. You were saying you have fibro and Crohn's. Yeah, I have fibro, and part of my fibro is a massive food sensitivity where I become violently physically ill if I eat something my body doesn't like. And what I have found, I don't know how you feel about this, Karen, but I've talked with other people who I hang out with witches, so a lot of my friends are witches. I find that the more psychically adept a person is, the more sensitivities they develop. And mine have been going nuts, but I've also been getting, like, my psychic abilities have been getting really much more intense, and now I have the ability to control them, whereas before, when I was younger, I couldn't control them, which really stinks, which is why I tell people take Heidi's classes on psychic development, because she's one of the teachers that doesn't just teach you how to turn the water spigot on, she teaches you how to turn down the volume as well and be able to control that. And that's one of the reasons I respect you, Heidi, is that a lot of these teachers don't do that.
No.
And I have gotten so much more. Like, I went to have a reading because I wanted somebody who didn't know me to do a reading for me. And I walk into the psychic and she's like, "Why are you here? You're more psychic than I am." And I said, "I'm here because I can't really always read for myself."
Yeah.
You know, and I want to have you read for me. And she gave me some really good insights. And I'm not ready to do this yet, but for the first time, I have thought maybe I am ready to do psychic readings eventually. I've always said I don't want to do psychic readings for money. I don't want to, or for energy exchange. I don't feel comfortable doing that. Now, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, now that I've gotten older and I've had my confidence boosted a little bit, I feel like maybe eventually I might do some readings. So that's fun. I'm not ready to do it yet. Mm-hmm. But,
Cool.
So, Karen, thank you for sharing that. I'm sorry that you're a fellow pain warrior. I really am. Here's your jacket. Welcome to the club.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Just getting down to business, we have to, you know, plug the Calling Radio Show tomorrow at 8 o'clock Eastern. I'm not sure what they're talking about tomorrow night, but join Jerry and Willow and Kimberly for another good show, I'm certain. And we have about 3 minutes left, ladies. This hour has, like, flown.
It always does.
Hi. We could have
time
a 2-hour show.
Time flies when you're having fun.
We should have a 2-hour show sometime. Could we do that?
Well, if Kristen comes.
Oh, Jerry says paranormal no-nos. I will come.
Oh, paranormal
no-nos tomorrow night.
That's going to be a good one. I need to watch that.
Yeah.
Watch it. Listen to it.
Yeah. Paranormal no-nos. Okay.
Good topic.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Like mispronouncing Uranus. You know, some people call it Uranus. Some people call it Uranus.
I say Uranus because I'm not trying to, like, be, because I'm literally 12.
Yes.
So I just don't, you know,
say
it like that.
Uranus.
I don't want to go down that road when we have like 30 seconds left. Okay. Let's not end the show.
No, we're
there.
Not.
Jerry's
we are
unhappy.
I am going to call it here.
So we need to, we will get together again soon in the next maybe month or two or something.
Yeah.
We don't have anything
yet
scheduled for July. So.
Maybe we'll have to do a live show.
Yes.
Again, with people.
Because a lot of people are vaccinated.
Yep. Yes.
So, yes.
We should talk about what we have coming up quick before we're done.
Will.
We've got a couple of shows planned.
Yeah.
Next week, of course,
is our Paranormal Smorgasbord. Woohoo! And then we have on the 8th, we have
Bob Peterson's coming back. He is a fan favorite.
Yes.
People love Bob Peterson and his out-of-body experience.
Out-of-body experiences, yeah. And then we have Kyle Cadell.
We're hoping.
Yes.
Kyle Cadell, he's in our Midsummer
fabulous
show.
Our Midsummer. Yep.
And then
we have Nick Redfern on the 22nd, which he's always fun to talk to. He's awesome.
We've had him on before and he's awesome.
Yeah.
So
I've seen him before on TV.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's been on quite a few different shows.
And we've kind of been friends with him ever since. So yeah, awesome.
So that's our lineup.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, listen, thank you all for joining us, and for the troops out there listening, please be safe and thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
Kristen, thank you.
Our third co-host. Thank you, ladies, and everybody out there. Yes. I love y'all. This is so fun.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah, it's been great to have Kristen back with us. And everybody in the chat room, thank you so much. You guys are awesome, as always. And everybody out there listening, wherever you're at, thank you for joining us tonight. We love doing the show, and we love ParaX for hosting us, and Sarge, our most amazing producer. He is the most amazing producer on the planet. Thank you, Sarge.
Thank you, Sarge.
And yes, we had loads of fun tonight. So thanks, everybody. And we will be back next week for our Paranormal Smorgasbord.
Yeah, make it a good one, everyone.